All right, praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals and stand. And let's open up to 331. 331 tonight. We'll sing all three. Aren't you glad he's faithful? 331. Always faithful, our God is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Oh, what a blessing to know tonight that we serve a faithful God. What a blessing to know that He'll be with Tiffany McDonald as she travels to Thailand to share the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, yes, indeed He is. Let's grab our Bibles at this time and open up to the book of Revelation, chapter number 6. Revelation chapter 6. I won't be long tonight. The food smells too good. But praise the Lord, we're back in our series, our Sunday night series on prophecy. We're looking at the tribulation period. Tonight is tribulation period part 3. Part 3, praise the Lord. Now, beloved, notice that in chapter 5, verse 14 of Revelation, the church is where? Worshipping the King where? In heaven. The church is already in heaven. when the tribulation period begins in chapter 6, verse 1. You notice that in the last verse of chapter 5? We are already in heaven with our dear Lord, worshiping Him. Look at that, verse 14 of chapter 5. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders, the believers, fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. I'm so glad, folks. We're not going to be here for the tribulation period. We're getting raptured out before all that breaks loose. Now, the church is in heaven worshiping the King as the tribulation period is beginning on earth. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw last time, is the only one worthy in all of eternity to open the seals of the book. And as He opens the first seal, we're going to look at the first seal judgment tonight, the tribulation period begins. The Antichrist comes into the scene in chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, from chapter 6 through chapter 19, verse 11, the events are unfolding for the time of Jacob's trouble. Chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9, and 17 are all dealing with the first half of Daniel's 70th week, the first 42 months. Now, in chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14, we're dealing with the events that will take place at the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. There'll be a time of some great events taking place right during the middle. Then in chapters 15, 16, and 18, we're dealing with the events taking place during the last half of the final 42 months called the Great Tribulation. Bad things going to happen on planet Earth. Now, keep in mind that as the tribulation period begins, here in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the whole world is already divided into 10 sections or kingdoms, if you will. Okay? Now, one of those kingdoms is going to be North America plus Canada plus Mexico. That's going to be one of the 10 kingdoms. See, you've got the European Union. That's going to be another kingdom. You're going to have New Zealand, Australia, like that. So you're going to have 10, the Asians, you're going to have 10 sections. The Antichrist will have the world divided up, and he will control all 10 rulers or kings of those empires. Now, there will be three series of judgments during the seven-year period upon the earth. Now, the seal judgments will be the first series of divine judgment. The trumpet judgments, the second, and the bowl or vial judgments, thirdly. These will begin as a result of Israel signing a seven-year covenant, a peace treaty with the Antichrist. They are a part of the decree of destruction upon the whole earth. Go to Isaiah chapter 28. Hold your place in Revelation. Isaiah chapter 28 speaks clearly of this covenant. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 28. And look with me at verse number 14. Isaiah 28, 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. God is speaking to the leadership of Israel here during the tribulation period. Okay, and He calls them scornful men because they've rejected the will of God and their own Messiah. And they have signed a covenant, an agreement with the Antichrist. Look what He says. Because ye have said, we have made a what?
Covenant.
Covenant. It's a covenant. Same word used in Daniel 9:26, describing the covenant with the prince, small p, that shall come. Antichrist. Okay? We have made a covenant with what?
Death.
Death. Not with life. Listen, the covenant that you entered into with Jesus Christ is an everlasting covenant of life. You have eternal life. This covenant is a covenant of death. And those who agree and enter in with the Antichrist will be eternally separated from God as a result. Look at it. And at hell, with hell, are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge, tribulation, shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. This is what they think. The leaders of Israel think that this king that's coming on the scene very quickly here, the Antichrist, will protect them during the tribulation period. Oh, he will for 42 months until he breaks this covenant. Look at it. And it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and understood under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, it's Jesus, a sure foundation. He that what?
Believeth
shall not make haste. That means go quickly. He that believes on Messiah during the tribulation period, you guys follow this, he's not going to make haste or go quickly to make an agreement with the Antichrist. The believing remnant of Israel during the tribulation period will not agree with this covenant, and they will be saved. They have to endure to the end of the tribulation period to be saved, but they will. A lot of them will be beheaded because of their faith in Messiah. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail. Look at it. There's a hail coming down. The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. He's going to bring an end to this Antichrist and his covenant. The water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Now, he's not talking to any individual in verse 18, folks. He's talking to his elect nation, Israel. Some will perish and go with the Antichrist. Some will cleave to Messiah and believe to salvation. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Israel. From that time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. Morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. Yeah, for 7 years. And it shall be a vexation, only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. You can't hide from God. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. That's the destruction of the Antichrist. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Notice, this tribulation period, this covenant of death with the Antichrist, is going to affect the whole world, folks. Not just the Middle East. The whole world will be affected by what's going to take place. Now, in the seventh seal judgment, beloved, the seventh seal contains the seven trumpet judgments as they unfold. The seventh trumpet judgment contains the seven bowl or vial judgments as they unfold. They're actually the four horsemen of chapter 6. Now, let's begin. First of all, tonight, the opening of the first seal. Look at Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to cover only one seal tonight, and we'll do it quickly. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, this white horse rider, beloved, is often mistaken by well-meaning preachers to be the Messiah. It is not. It is the anti-Messiah. This is Antichrist. Let me give you some reasons why it's not the King of Kings, but the false Messiah, the Antichrist. First, notice that this rider carries a bow. Look at that in verse 2. He had a bow. As an archer, you know what the devil does right now? He likes to shoot fiery darts at you and me because we belong to Jesus. He likes to tempt us. He likes to bring trials into our lives. He likes to attack us. But glory to God, Jesus is greater. Amen? Now, something else about this bow. Notice in verse 2, what is missing? He's got a bow, but he doesn't have what? He doesn't have any arrows. You know what this is, folks? This is a picture of him coming in peaceably. He's not shooting his weapons at people. He's coming in making world peace. Oh yeah, that's how he's going to get elected. He's going to bring world peace. He's going to sign an agreement that will affect the whole planet, and everybody's going to worship him. He's got no arrows because he's not at war yet. See? He's coming in peaceably. Something else concerning rider. He has a bow, but the real Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't have a bow. Look at chapter 19. Hold your place in chapter 6 again, chapter 19. Look at verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The real Jesus Christ has a sword. It's a two-edged sword, amen? Comes out of his mouth. When he opens his mouth, look out. Because bad things are going to happen on planet Earth during the tribulation period. He doesn't need a bow. He's got a sword. A mighty, powerful sword. Glory to God. Something else. Why this is not the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Antichrist. Notice that this rider wears a crown. Look at that in verse number 2. And a crown was given unto him. Notice this crown was handed to him. The people elected him. They said, we want you to reign over us. They inaugurate him as king of the world. And they give him a crown. Go to Revelation 19 again. The real Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have a crown. Look at it. Verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. You see that? The real Lord Jesus Christ has many crowns. Glory to God. And he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, the crown that the white horse rider in chapter 6 wears is a Stephanos crown. That is a crown of a victor or a conqueror. But the crown that the King of Kings wears is a diadem crown, which is the crown of sovereignty and royalty. So clearly, the white horse rider in chapter 6 is an imposter. He's fooling people into believing that he's the real Jesus. He has miracle-working power. You got to watch out for those miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, the devil can give you those. Oh, yeah. It's going to happen during the tribulation period, too. He's an imitator. He's a deceiver. He's the Antichrist. Now, to understand fully the role and activities of the Antichrist, we need to understand the framework of the counterfeit Trinity of chapter 13. Listen, in chapter 13 of Revelation, Satan plays the role of the counterfeit father. And just as God the Father gave all his authority to his Son, so too Satan will give all of his authority and power to his Son, Antichrist. See, he'll have satanic power. The false prophet of chapter 13 will play the role of the Holy Spirit. He will cause men to worship the Antichrist, as the Holy Spirit causes men to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a false prophet. Now, many things are said about him to make much more sense in this passage. Let's examine some names given to Antichrist in Scripture, and I'll be done, to get a better grasp of this first seal. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Have your Bibles greased up. We'll go quick. We don't want our food to get cold, right? Chapter 3. In chapter 3, his first title is the seed of Satan. Antichrist will be the seed, literally, of Satan. Look at chapter 3 of Genesis. Look at verse 15. He's talking to the devil, Satan. And I, God speaking, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman. And between, what's the next two words?
Thy seed
and her seed. Now, thy seed, the devil's seed, is Antichrist. Her seed, see that? Her seed, that's Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at it. It, her seed, shall bruise thy head. And we know that a head wound in the Bible is a death blow. And thou shalt bruise his heel. This happened on the cross, right? So we see, first he's called the seed of the devil, the seed of Satan. Go with me to chapter 10. Quickly, we're going to fly, I promise you. Chapter 10, look with me at verse 8. He's called the Assyrian. The Assyrian. Look in chapter 10 at verse number 8. And Cush begat who? Nimrod. Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. So will the Antichrist. And he was a mighty what? Hunter before the Lord. I don't have time to show you this, but he didn't hunt deer. He was hunting souls of men. And look at it, he was an archer. What does the Antichrist come with? A bow. A bow. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord in the beginning of his kingdom, was Babel. Babylon. That will be the headquarters of Antichrist. Folks, the Holy Spirit is giving you the end from the beginning right here.
He's telling you where the Antichrist headquarters will reside, in Babylon.
You see that? I mean, this is so clear. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah. He's called the Assyrian over and over and over in your Bible. He's bad news. He's an imitator. He's a false Christ. And yet people will buy it hook, line, and sinker because they don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can be deceived, right? Look at it. Isaiah 14, look at verse 24. The Lord of hosts had sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the who?
Assyrian.
The Assyrian. In my land. Notice where he's residing, in Jerusalem. And upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Oh, that day's coming. Then shall his yoke depart from off them. Who's the them? That's Israel. He's going to break Antichrist's yoke from Israel. Look at it. And his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. It's going to affect the whole world. He's called the seed of Satan. He's called the Assyrian. He's called the little horn. Go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. Just after Ezekiel. Go to Daniel. Chapter number 7. Look at verse number 7. Daniel writes by the Holy Spirit, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, it's Antichrist, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue, that's the remnant of Israel, with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. Whatever it is about this one, notice what he's called, a beast. Revelation 13, verse 1, sound familiar? A beast coming up out of the sea. And it had 10 horns. There's the 10 kingdom government, the worldwide government that he will rule. I considered the horns, the kingdoms, and behold, there came up amongst them another, what? Little horn. This little horn, look at him. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. He's got a human body. And a mouth speaking great things. He's Antichrist. He's called the little horn. In chapter 8 of Daniel, he's called a king of fierce countenance. Look at it. Chapter 8, look at verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, Antichrist, and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Who's that? Who's the holy people?
Israel.
He's going to be destroying the Jews during the tribulation period, beloved, before they call upon Messiah and get saved. 25, and through his policy, see, he's making his own laws, as making them up as he goes. He shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, notice that, by peace shall destroy many. He comes in peaceably. He shall also stand up against the prince, capital P. Who's that?
Jesus.
It's the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ. Here is his fatal mistake. He's going to stand up against the prince of princes. Look at it. Verse 25. But he shall be broken without hand. You won't have to lift a finger. There's a sword coming out of Messiah's mouth. It's going to slay him quick. And the vision of the evening and the morning which I told is true. Look at it. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted. He passed out. He's like, wow, these visions the Lord given me. And I was sick certain days. It made him sick to his stomach, folks. What he saw of this coming beast, the Antichrist. And I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision. But none understood it. Now, he's called the king of fierce countenance. He's called the prince that shall come. Chapter 9.
Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. There's the cross. But not for himself. He doesn't die on the cross for his own sins. He doesn't have any. For ours. And the people of the prince that shall come. See that? That's all the armies of the world that swear allegiance to Antichrist. That's his people. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, the temple, the tribulation temple. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. He's called the desolator. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 27. And he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant, there's that word again, with many for 1 week. That's, we saw last week, that's 1 7-year period, 1 week. And in the midst, that's a heptad. And in the midst of the week, 42 months in, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Yeah, when he walks into the temple and says, I'm God, worship me. Right? Watch it. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. And even unto the consummation, that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That Hebrew word is desolator. He's saying the wrath of God is going to fall on the head of the desolator. The Antichrist. He's going to receive the full wrath of God. Glory to God. He's also called the willful king. Look at chapter 11. He's called the willful king. Chapter 11, verse 35. Almost done. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end of the tribulation, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. Now notice here in verse 36, this Antichrist, he doesn't want anything to do with God's will. Like Tiffany McDonald, she wants to do God's will. Amen? He doesn't want anything to do with God's will. He does his own will. And anyone who does their own will and violates God's will, they're in deep trouble. Look at it. The king shall, that's the Antichrist, shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself. He won't exalt Jesus. He won't exalt God the Father. He exalts himself and magnifies himself above every god. Notice that. He wants to be worshipped. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And shall prosper till, only until, the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Mark it down. He says his reign is only for a period of time. His day is coming. And Jesus Christ will come and he will destroy, annihilate him and his armies. I'm so glad of that. He's the willful king. He's the man of sin. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's called the man of sin. Look at this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day. What day? The context is the second advent. That's the Lord Jesus Christ coming back at the end of the tribulation period. But he says, that day shall not, look at it, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, an apostasy. And that man of sin be revealed, Antichrist, the son of perdition. He's called the son of perdition. That's that word perdition, it means destruction. He's the son of destruction. He only brings destruction and misery and havoc and death. That's what he does. Something else. Glory to God. He's called that wicked one. Look at verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8. And then shall that wicked, notice the capital W? That's a person. That's a title. That wicked be revealed, Antichrist, whom the Lord Jesus Christ shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I can't wait for that day. When Jesus comes, boy, he's going to roll his sleeves up, and he's going to take care of business. This world has no idea what it's in for. He's called the wicked one. He's called Antichrist. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. He's called the Antichrist. Speaking of not an Antichrist, but the Antichrist that was to come. Look in chapter 2 of 1 John. Look at verse 22. Who is a liar? John asks a question. Who is a liar? See, the Antichrist is a liar. He promises peace, but he brings destruction. Look at it. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He will claim to be the Son of God himself, in essence denying the truth of the Son of God. He's called the beast. Go to Revelation chapter 11. We'll finish up. In Revelation chapter number 11, look with me at verse number 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the two witnesses, the beast that ascendeth up, ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Notice the two witnesses will be killed during the midpoint of the tribulation period. But he notice who kills them. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. He's called the beast. That's who the Antichrist is, the beast. He's called the beast also in chapter 13, verse number 1. A beast coming up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And he has the names of blasphemy in his head. He's Antichrist. That's opposing, opposite Christ. He's everything that Jesus isn't. He wants to be Jesus, but he can't. Amen? I'm so glad, folks. Back to chapter 6, we'll finish up. I'm so glad tonight that as these seal judgments open on earth, we will be with our Lord in heaven because we have trusted in his shed blood. Chapter 6, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Yeah, he'll conquer the whole world for a time until Messiah comes back. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for part 3 of the tribulation period, the first seal judgment. It's the coming of the Antichrist. And Lord, it grieves our hearts tonight that the most part of this world will be deceived by him. They will believe that he is the second coming. They will believe that he is Jesus Christ. They will fall down, worship him, take his mark, and be eternally separated from you. How sad. How sad, Lord, when you've made it so easy for folks to be saved. In this age of grace, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall have eternal life, shall receive the Holy Spirit of God, shall be born again. Lord, we're so thankful for the precious gospel. The gospel of grace. Lord, we're so thankful that we have entered into covenant. It's a covenant of eternal life. And because it's a covenant with the real Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray in these last days, before these events take place, we ask you, Lord, to give us souls. Give us souls for Jesus, Lord. Use us to preach the gospel. Use us to tell them of your love. To draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved before it's too late. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, folks. We're not going to sing. But what I want to do is let's just form a circle around. Everybody join hands right around the chairs. Well, as a matter of fact, right up this middle row and right over here. And we're just going to have a word of prayer in closing tonight. Praise the Lord. A word of prayer for Tiffany McDonald. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let's ask Brother Kyle to lead us and just ask the Lord to bless this young missionary gal and her ministry in Thailand, and that many souls will be saved as a result.
Lord, as we gather this evening to hear this young lady, she presented her desire to go off to Thailand as a missionary, Lord, and daunting task that lays before her. We know, Lord, that she wanders into a land of many foreign beliefs, many of these people worshiping gods and ancestors and idols, and as she pointed out that only 1% are Christian in that entire region, and it's kind of like an ink spot on a white cloth. But we pray, Lord, you'd make that ink spot grow and expand and prosper in that region, Lord, and find many of them and bring them to your word, Lord, and bring them through this ministry and through the ministry she's working with to understand, to know, and to love you, Lord. We pray that as she travels through it and departs the U.S. here shortly and journeys off to her mission field, Lord, you will be with her. Your hedge of protection will be over and around her, Lord, and you'll see her continually, day by day, and keep her safe and trustingly going forth and doing your work.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we just ask you to bless the food to our bodies we're about to receive. We thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day in your house again. It's so encouraging to be with your people, worshiping you, Lord, loving on you, and being strengthened by your Holy Spirit with might in our inner man. Thank you for Tiffany McDonald. Thank you for her obedience. Bless her in all her ways. Be with her. Use her mightily. And Lord, we expect great reports from Thailand. We're excited already. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, Amen.
Amen.